It was many years ago in a large village of Dutch Flanders, the sweet and pleasant country that rejoices in brilliant flowers, a country that gladly spreads out before us as so many pretty toys, her illuminated gables and wagons and towers, her cupboards and clocks that gleam at the end of the passage, her little trees marshaled in line along quays and canal banks, waiting, one almost might think, for some splendid procession to pass, her boats and her barges with sculptured sterns, her flower-like doors and windows, her spotless dams and many-colored drawbridges, and her little varnished houses, bright as new pottery, from which bell-shaped dames come forth all a-glitter with silver and gold to milk the cows in the white-hedged fields, or spread the linen on flowery lawns that are cut into patterns of oval and lozenge and are most amazingly green. To this spot an aged philosopher had retired, having become a little weary, and here he had built his refuge. His happiness lay all in the beauties of his garden, and best loved and visited most often were the beehives. There were 12 of them, 12 domes of straw, and some he had painted a bright pink, and some a clear yellow, but most were a tender blue, for he had noticed the fondness of the bees for this color. These hives stood against the wall of the house, in the angle formed by one of those pleasant and graceful Dutch kitchens, whose earthenware dresser, all bright with copper and brass, was reflected through the open door onto the peaceful water of the canal. And the water, carrying these familiar images beneath its curtain of poplars, led one's eyes to a calm horizon of meadows and of mills. Here, as in all places, the hives lent a new meaning to the flowers and the silence, the balm of the air, and the rays of the sun. One seemed to have drawn very near to all that was happiest in nature. One was content to sit down and rest at this radiant crossroad, along which the busy and tuneful bearers of all country perfumes were incessantly passing from dawn until dusk. One heard the musical voice of the garden, whose loveliest hours seemed to rejoice and to sing of their gladness. One came here to the school of the bees to be taught how nature is always at work, always scheming and planning, and to learn, too, the lesson of wholehearted labor, which is always to benefit others. In order to follow as simply as possible the life of the bees through the year, we will take a hive that awakens in the spring and duly starts on its labors, and then we shall meet, in their order, all the great events of the bees. These are, first of all, the formation and departure of the swarm. Then the foundation of the new city, the birth and flight of the young queens, the massacre of the males, and, last of all, the return of the sleep of winter. We will try to give the reasons for each event, and to show the laws and habits that bring it about, and so, when we have arrived at the end of the bees' short year, which extends only from April to the last days of September, we shall have gazed on all the mysteries of the Palace of Honey. Before we knock at the door and let our inquisitive glance travel round, it need merely be said that the hive is composed of a queen, who is the mother of all her people, of thousands of female worker bees, who are neuters or spinsters, and finally, of some hundreds of males who never do any work and are known as drones. When, for the first time, we take the cover off a hive, we cannot help some feeling of fear, as though we were looking at something not meant for our eyes, something alarming and frightening. We have always thought of the bee as rather a dangerous creature. There is the distressful recollection of its sting, which produces so peculiar a pain that one knows not with what to compare it, a sort of dreadful dryness, as though a flame of the desert had scorched the wounded limb, and one asks oneself whether these daughters of the sun may not have distilled a dazzling poison from their father's rays in order to defend the treasure which they have gathered during his shining hours. There is no doubt that if some person who neither knows nor respects the habits of the bee were suddenly to fling open the hive, this would turn itself immediately into a burning bush of heroism and fury. But the slight amount of skill needed